VentureCast.
And what was the deciding factor to switch and say, here I am, world?
So in the background, so I lived a corporate life. I did corporate IT for many years and just looked at the world and said, God, you know, I'm working so hard and I've tried so hard and I was loving what I was doing, but realized at some point there's going to be a ceiling. And sure, you see, you know, the bottom lines and the profits for these large organizations that you work for, because all that information is public and you're like, how do I situate myself to a point where I don't have to have a ceiling? And I think the harsh reality of it was there is. So during this tenure in corporate IT,
so in IT, background, you have to be the hottest IT person of all time.
So yeah. I found out that I needed to dress like a third grade teacher to get my point across sometimes. Just
makes sense, actually.
Yeah.
Welcome, fellow Lushes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool, and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
All right. Welcome back, fellow Lushes, to another episode of Cocktail. I forgot the name again.
It's the Cocktails with Dimples. Wait, no, it's...
I can't.
You can't what?
I can't remember the name of this podcast anymore. We got to shorten this thing. It's too long. Six words is too many.
It is a lot.
I know. But it should just be...
How about just cock, dimples in the beard?
Dimples cock in the beard?
Dimples cock in the beard.
Dimples cock in the beard.
Let's change it up.
We can't rebrand now. We're about to blow them.
We can't rebrand now,
but
people know.
Had we known it was going to turn into this, what it is instead of what it was when we started, we probably just would have called it Dimples in the Beard. So,
well, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the original concept
was to just get drunk and talk about drinks.
So, yeah. So there it is. So, I mean, I think we're going to get so big that people are going to cut it down to just Dimps in the Beard.
And Dimps.
Dimps and B.
The beard,
Dimps and the B.
The Beard's Gimp.
The Gimp.
Every episode you'll be sitting over there in a black fucking rubber bodysuit. You'll have to unzip the fucking what question do you zip it back up. Welcome back, fellow Lushes, to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. What do I say every time? Another beautiful woman. How do we keep doing this? How do we keep talking them into this?
Well, they take one look at me and they say, we want to be on there. That's usually what it is.
Yeah. Well, especially with that porn stash. I mean, it makes sense now.
It completely makes sense, doesn't it?
You know, the three women we've talked to this week all do some content on OnlyFans and they probably saw your mustache and went, that guy knows what we're up to. He seems like a professional in our business.
They're looking me up to hire me as talent.
So would you stunt cock on OnlyFans?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I would if I was single, for sure.
But if you're a stunt cock, how does she know? I'm just going out of town on business.
Well, I'm not. I wouldn't do that. I'm a honorable gentleman who loves with all his heart and all his penis. So. Yeah.
Maybe she'll give you permission as long as you don't show your face.
No, I've already asked. anyway, so tonight we're joined by
right away. Boom.
By Mrs. Milford. And I believe this episode will probably come out a week after you see an episode with Mrs. Andy. And you've already seen our episode with ASMR Maddie. Mm-hmm. So now I can tell you all, go find their content because these three
ladies
OnlyFans content. Together
they do.
You know what that means?
And with guests,
that means so six
trying to be
beautiful
guest.
Boobies.
No, you're not seeing double.
Six of them.
There's six of them there.
Six of them, and they are. Oh.
Yeah, so they do. They that's part of the fun.
Uh-huh. I know.
They all know each other. They all work together. They work together with an additional male.
I know that.
And then sometimes
that one
just like to have fun amongst themselves.
How would you like to be that one, the dude who gets to be the sick patient and the one where they're all nurses?
I'm sick. I'm feeling sick.
I know.
Get your nurses.
The only problem is, did you watch it? Because do you know how they took his temperature?
That's right.
You'd allow that in that video?
Sure.
I didn't think you were into the butt stuff.
No, but three beautiful women say, well,
they're going to stick. What if the thermometer is like that big around?
Whatever they want.
Really?
Whatever they want.
Really?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to tell Mrs. Milford if they need somebody to shoot that scene, you are available because you are single.
What's the alternative?
Not doing
it. They leave?
Yeah. Well, but what if that's the only thing that involves is you get
a giant... and then they leave?
Yes.
Well, I mean,
they try to make you finish with the giant thermometer in the...
Guess that, or they help it along a little bit?
No, it's possible. Mm, interesting. You can come without dick touches.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know your lines?
Interesting thing. Never keep a pretty lady waiting.
And we won't. Without further ado, Mrs. Milford. Oh, look at that.
We will hold.
There we go.
There it is.
Oh, perfect.
Did I tell you she sent a message and said, is it okay if I have this background behind me? And then I'm like, looked at the background and went, yeah, it's more than okay. That's beautiful.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Was that real?
Yeah, that's real. And that's just a little bit of it. So we have, I don't call it a problem. I just call it a very expensive habit, kind of like golf, but more delicious.
Oh my gosh, I'm in awe. I am in awe.
And if you're a big time golfer, you spend more money than you've spent on whiskey. So
100%. So there's really a cost savings in there.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
plus sure.
Whiskey's more fun than golf anyway.
Oh yeah. So
did you just build your house around all that whiskey?
Kind of. So we're like, we don't need, like, most houses have like a formal dining area.
Yeah.
And that's just not how we roll. We never have. So we're like, we have adult children. We eat over the sink, and so why don't we just turn this into like the bar area? And we're big fans of like the speakeasy feel.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what like this is probably the room we spend the most time in.
Is there a password to get in?
No, but there should be.
There should be.
Yeah. I am implementing that.
Yeah,
I just went to a speakeasy last weekend.
Nice.
Had the whole thing, the whole get, you know, text them, get a password. Bartender was all the cap, and oh, it was so much fun.
I love those. It's always such an experience. And I love when they're in character. There's one called Hanson's Shoe Repair. If you're ever in the Orlando area.
Oh, I'll be there in June.
Yeah, do it. Tiny, tiny place. You have to get the password from their Twitter.
Okay.
And there's no vodka there. So like it's only whiskey.
Okay.
Oh, even better.
Yeah. I'll hide my drink.
Yeah.
I'm with you tonight. Thank you.
Right on. Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers to you.
All right. It's delicious.
Wow. That's crazy. There was actually a whiskey there that he said, oh, nope, you can't have it. You're not a member.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Wow.
Weller's, I think it was.
Oh, was it Weller 12?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fancy.
I think I have a bottle in here.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah. Weller's probably one of my favorites. I'm drinking Willett's pot still tonight, but Weller's up there. It's just hard to find. Like that scarcity is real.
I believe he had to go to Chicago to get it or something like that. Yeah. So,
wow.
So
that's crazy. So how many, do you have any idea how many bottles are there?
I think we took an inventory around Christmas time and I want to say there's around 200.
Okay.
And that's about 8 years worth of collecting and searching. It's almost like this adrenaline rush, right? When you find one. We actually went to Kentucky of all these years collecting for the first time last year.
Oh, nice.
Did Louisville, Bardstown. We didn't do like the full like bourbon trail that's on our list. Maybe this year, we'll see. But now it's just like a challenge. And it's funny that we find these amazing bottles in like the tiniest little towns, like privately owned liquor stores. So
yeah,
like people with lottery tickets, if we see a tiny liquor store that's an off brand, we go in and check out the whiskey section.
That's nice.
Awesome.
Okay.
That's awesome. That can be a fun little hobby. Yeah. Do fun little road trips and just look for, that's cool.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. It'd be just fun to do that, to seek out and to try them.
100%. Yeah.
Is there any that you haven't opened that you like are saving for a special occasion to open? Or
so, yeah, there's three bottles here that I look at and salivate and go, God, just one day, please tell me one day we can drink it. we have Evan Williams 23 year, which probably is going to hit like a hammer. I mean, that is some old bourbon. I mean, when you think about what evaporates and what's left in that barrel, it's probably going to have some punch to it, but like, you just can't help but wrap your head around that. We have Midsummer's Night Dram, which that hasn't been cracked yet, but that's like a limited release. It comes out. They have a Midsummer and a Midwinter that comes out every year. It's just, again, hard to find. So that's a bottle I would personally like to try because I love the distillery it comes out of. And I will say that the Boss Hogs that we have up here. So Boss Hog is a limited release done by a distiller called Whistle Pig, and they're actually based out of Vermont. So if you're a rye person, I highly recommend it. It's got a nice maple finish to most of their releases without being overly sweet. And then they'll do special releases. Like they have a farm stock rye up there that's a little higher proof, very, very good. And they'll do a new one every single year.
So do you have a price limit on the on your on the bottles, or if you you know what?
Nope. I don't know.
I like to, like, my daily drinkers are usually $50-$60 and under. Yep. It's just that's where my palate is. I'm really a bourbon girl. So that 90 to 100 proof pot still, that's kind of where my money zone is. But I do appreciate a high barrel proof every now and again. Like the Knob Creek single barrel, I think that's around $75. That's like 120, 125 proof.
Oof,
but it drinks. Oh, but it's sneaky. It does not drink. So that's a beware. You got to remember that's 1.5 usual pours.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
where did the obsession start? With you?
I really don't know. It just became a thing.
You turn around, all of a sudden you had 100 bottles of whiskey. You're like, how did this happen?
And she didn't. She didn't flinch at the word obsession.
Right.
No. It's kind of a blur. I mean, I started drinking vodka when I was younger. And as I got older, I started, you know, trying to introduce my palate to other things. Tequila and I just don't get along really well. We tried a few times. It's just not going to work out for us.
Sure.
I just started gravitating toward whiskey. I think I started with like a honey, when the honey whiskey first came out, that's what I started with. And it was easy to drink on my palate. And I started drinking that over the rocks, letting it melt, have a little water back.
Yep.
But I started to find that I didn't like the sweetness after, you know, about a year or so, that I liked what happened on the back end of it. So I started trying whiskeys. I tried Canadian whiskeys, Irish whiskey, Scotch. I actually really got into Scotch first. I was a fan of the peatiness. So I went from really sweet to highly peated. And now like I'm somewhere in the middle. So,
All right.
I mean, it's been 15 years in the making, I think.
And no looking back and years to come, 15 more to go.
No, I mean, when I die, give me my coffee and my bourbon and that's all I need to go in the next life.
So is there any other liquor on that, in that wall, or do you even allow it in your house?
There is. So there are a handful of tequilas that have surprised me over the years. I can't say that I sip them with regularity. But Addictivo makes a really great tequila that's got this nice creamy vanilla finish to it. It doesn't drink like a tequila, and I think that's why I like it. Clase Azul is up there, which is another one that's got a vanilla creamy finish to it. And a really cool one out of Mexico called Dos Artes, which is absolutely incredible. Sips like water. You can actually taste the agave in it, which I've never had that experience with tequila because it was me and Jose, you know,
right.
My life, which was not cute. Probably why like that intro is a little bit of a blur. But there are a few up there.
Okay.
The vodka will keep like under the bar and like tease people about when they come over in the rum. But I mean, I'm a Florida girl, so I have to have rum here too. Like you just can't live in Florida and not have a bottle of rum.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. My expensive bottle was, I bought a bottle of the Jack Daniel's Frank Sinatra Select when,
ooh,
with the vanilla, it's got a vanilla added to it, and I haven't cracked that yet. I've had one sip of it from somebody else, but I don't know when I want to open it. I just don't know because I don't want it to go away.
Right, exactly. And once you open it, I learned this recently that you're supposed to drink it within 6 to 12 months because otherwise the flavor profile changes completely. Yeah, so I'm looking at some of these bottles. I'm like, well, we're gonna have a bender weekend. Because I've been open for a while.
We got 3 or 4 of these that need to go fast.
Wow, I did not know that. So that's interesting.
I learned that in Bardstown this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'll have to keep that in mind. But that's weird. The Scotty one. It doesn't seem like it has a real good seal, one of these. So
But is that is how this probably started, is like, if I can't find another bottle, I don't know that I want to crack that one. So that's what here up are dusties. Those are
sure
the one and done's.
Sure. Yeah.
One and done's perfect. Okay. So we'll have to plan for that. Anyways.
All right. Now we can introduce Mrs. Mallory or Mrs. Milford we haven't even done that yet. We started talking whiskey and didn't even get to that. So Mrs. Okay. Milford, thank you so much for
you coming are more, on. You are more important than whiskey. So
well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. But I wouldn't be, you know, offended if I wasn't. You know, that's a tough race for me. I appreciate you guys having me on. This is
we feel like we're completing the trifecta tonight. Yeah. We've talked with Maddie, we talked with Andy, and now we're talking with you. So
I love it.
Andy was just last night.
Monday.
No, two nights ago.
Yeah.
Those are some awesome ladies right there.
We stumbled upon Maddie because she did the ASMR for Bert Kreischer. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big fan. We're big fans. So I messaged her just hoping, and she got back to us. And then through her, you know, found you guys, and we're like, oh, well, let's try, see if they'll come on. So
I love it. I love it. 3 degrees of separation. Let's do
right,
it.
Right.
That's funny. So we've been huge Bert Kreischer fans for years and years and years. I remember when he was still doing like the small club tour and we'd go out and hang out with him.
Oh,
there's
nice.
Probably a dozen pictures of me standing there with my shirt up with him. From like way back in the day. So
The people appreciate that. Bert, yeah. I'm sure Bert does too.
I'm sure Bert does, and I'm sure the people looking probably would prefer.
There was one show we showed up. I had nipple pasties made with his avatar from Twitter. Yeah.
Oh, so perfect.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that's
it was
so
a good
cool.
One.
So how long have you known Maddie and Andy?
Oh man. So I think Andy and I have known each other for the better part of 6 years now.
Okay.
We met in mutual social circles, had mutual friends, just absolutely loved her. The first time we met, her and her husband, like the four of us just got along like gangbusters. And then I met Maddie through Andy.
Okay.
About a year ago this time.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, and just like two peas in a pod. They're just absolutely wonderful. And she's a fascinating human too.
True.
Yeah. True. Yeah. She's got a lot going on. And we're lucky. We got some of her, you know, candies here that we've, you know.
Oh yeah.
Partaken.
Oh yeah.
In.
Those are those are legit.
Yes, they
are. I'm a little scared of the Delta. Yeah, I'm scared of the Delta 8s, like a little bit.
they pack a punch. It's a nice high. It's nice. So
yeah.
we were in Nashville back in October, and we actually ran into her just accidentally at the comedy club when we were in Nashville. So yeah.
That's awesome.
We're standing in line. She was walking by.
And she stood out. You recognize it.
Oh yeah. You can't like, she's probably one of the most beautiful humans I've met in person on the planet. And what I love about her is she is authentic. The person you see is the person you get. Like she's genuinely that nice.
Yeah. That's certainly what we found out. And what you see of her on camera is not fake. It's not like that's who she is. And that's why it's easy to fall in love with her that, you know, just like that. Like she's just, I mean, so sweet. And so, you know, so.
Well, and now we're falling in love two more times.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. We're going to have you guys all sorts of Twitter pated. I love it.
Well, we've interviewed more people from Nashville than any
it
other
like
city.
It.
You know, we've got a couple comedians, a couple musicians. So the next time we're in Nashville, we want to like get everybody together.
Oh yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Now I'm sad I don't live in Nashville, but welcome to the shit show that is Florida.
Oh, I thought you were in Nashville too. Okay.
Yeah. No, a lot of people think so because we operate in a lot of the same circles and do a lot of like activities together.
Sure.
I'm actually a native Floridian, so I'm extra weird.
Okay. All right. Well, that explains the Bert Kreischer fascination. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. We're dead.
Bert Kreischer fascination is what I'm trying to say as well.
Yeah, he's one of ours for sure.
That explains it. him or just comedy in general?
Oh gosh, we love comedy in general. I think it's something I don't know. Life needs a lot of levity to it, and it's wonderful when you can find someone that provides that to you. Because let's face it, there's a lot of shit that goes on in this world. But we're Dave Williamson, Brad Williams, Eliza Schlesinger. We saw, oh God, what's her name? She's young, Taylor Tomlinson.
Oh yeah.
She's a little dark and twisted.
Perfect. And I
like that. Yeah, you don't see it coming out of her either. She looks like she'd go out there and be telling the squeaky clean jokes. And
yes, she's adorable. She's tiny. She looks so innocent. And then all of this stuff, this mess comes out of her mouth and it's so intelligent at the same time. It blows my mind. Like I'm absolutely fascinated with her right now.
Well, if you get a chance, our friend Chase O'Donnell, her special came out today. So she's hilarious. She tours with Christina P quite a bit. So
I love her too. I loved her on when she was doing the podcast with Dr. Drew. Late Night After Dark. And I'm not gonna lie, like I'm a child of the 80s and 90s, totally had a crush on him. He's still hot today.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
A little undeniable, and their chemistry on that show was incredible.
And Chase O'Donnell's on the show as well with Dr. Drew, and they have a very good chemistry. Not the same,
no.
a different aspect, but it's very funny.
Okay. I can't wait.
Yeah, you can tell Chase isn't as comfortable being as open as Christina, but he gets it out of her. So
Christina, there's no filter there.
Oh,
for sure.
We saw her when we were in Nashville and she was working on new material and she is completely off the rails. Now she doesn't give a fuck. She is saying what she wants, how she wants to say it. So it's fantastic.
I think she
got better.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And I think part of like, for me, I look at that and I'm like, man, I wish I could do that.
Yeah. Never tried comedy. Would you try it?
Open mic or
something?
No, I would probably pass out from like anxiety of having to do it. And which is funny because in my previous life, I was kind of a public speaker. But I was very like methodical and process driven. And like I had an objective and I wrote my own stuff, but like, I think I'm funny, but I don't think I'm that kind of funny. And I don't know that I would do well under pressure. Like people heckling me in the audience, like I might actually cry. I really do have feelings and it would be hard for me.
Yeah. I hear you there. I don't think I could ever do it. When we've had comedians on, they assume we're comedians and I'm like, no, we're not. The only way I could talk to people is this way. So
that's mad respect. That's an immense amount of pressure too. Like you're so vulnerable up there.
Yeah. And if everybody's laughing, it's one thing that, you know, I assume those nights are, I mean, not easy, but fairly easy. It's when you say the same jokes you said the night before that got big laughs and everybody just sits there and stares. Like, I can't imagine what that feels like.
No, but you'd probably get it a lot.
I would. Yeah. 1,000%.
I'm sweating just thinking about it.
So, oh my God. So it seems like you're more comfortable behind the camera then.
I am.
Well,
I
not
am,
behind the camera. Sure. Let me rephrase that. I meant not in front of a live audience, but performing
in front of the camera.
In front of a camera, not an audience.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
No. You're very natural. No,
thank you. No, I actually have, some public speaking background. I used to dance when I was younger, like not like exotically, because I am not that graceful.
I've seen some rather non-graceful exotic dancers in my time.
Same. And that's what I thought of when I was like, could I do this for a living?
I mean, it really has become in a lot of circles, just them walking around the stage, putting boobs in your face. I mean, they really don't really dance anymore.
We'll see. And if I knew that, maybe my career choice would have been different. But I don't know that I could do that.
Okay. So public speaking, that's interesting. And that's what your former life. And then at what point you switched careers?
Oh yeah. Like pivot 180. That's kind of on brand for me though. So.
Okay. And what was the deciding factor to switch and say, here I am world.
So in the background, so I lived a corporate life. I did corporate IT for many years and just looked at the world and said, God, you know, I'm working so hard and I've tried so hard and I was loving what I was doing, but realized at some point there's going to be a ceiling. And you see, you know, the bottom lines and the profits for these large organizations that you work for, because all that information is public and you're like, how do I situate myself to a point where I don't have to have a ceiling? And I think the harsh reality of it was there is. So during this tenure in corporate IT,
so in IT, background... you have to be the hottest IT person of all time.
So yeah. I found out that I needed to dress like a third grade teacher to get my point across sometimes.
Just makes sense, actually.
Yeah. but in the background, so I've always been very sex positive, very in touch with my sexuality. And I realized like in my teenage, early adulthood that not a lot of people are. Like there was very awkward social conversations and I got shut down pretty quick or mocked. And I'm like, fuck, okay, people are not ready for this.
Yeah.
So let's tamper that down a little bit.
Yeah.
So, but it's always been there. And in the background during my tenure in corporate IT, my husband and I started sex positive businesses.
Okay.
Store, and we actually have a sex positive podcast too. So this is all happening like on the down low during this tenure, but it became such a large part of our lives. And I met a few people on this side of the industry and I had a conversation and I was like, look, when I was in high school, I really had a legitimate thought that, you know, I'm going to go to college and do all these things, but if it doesn't work out, could I strip? Could I do porn? Like it could I do those things? Because I'm really passionate about sexuality. I don't know why. It's just a mechanism that's always existed in me. And I've learned as I've gotten older not to be ashamed of it.
Yeah. And because sex is fun.
Yes. Yes. And I love that there's so much more open conversation about it today than there was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Not just for myself, but like for my kids. So they don't have to shelter and feel ashamed for being whoever they want to be out there, as long as you're not hurting anybody. So meeting people on this side of the industry and having like these really raw conversations, I sat down and I'm like, look, I think I could do this. Like, I at least want to try. I've always wanted to be my own boss and operate independently. I'm a very independent human by nature, like self-sufficient. That's basically how I was raised. That's how I got through like young adulthood. And I just wanted to give it a shot. And I'll be damned, it's kismet. Like it was just kind of meant to be. I'm having the time of my life and I'm probably working harder than I ever have.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was, the pun was intended. but I love it. Like I'm almost addicted to it. It's so much fun. I don't know. I feel like it was meant to be, at least for now and in this time and space.
Yeah. So how long ago did you make the transition?
So I decided about a year ago, but I squirreled and prepped because I'm a planner and a prepper for about 3 months and talked myself out of it like 6 times before I pulled the trigger. So I started officially launched July 1st last year.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. You've created quite the following in a year
and
a half worth of time. That's awesome.
Thanks. That's a confluence of luck and hard work, I think.
Oh, absolutely. When you went to start it, was it quit your job, jump in deep end, or did you just kind of continue with your old job as well?
So with my job, I actually quit it and did one of those like, have you ever watched Half Baked?
Yeah.
You know that exit? That was kind of me. And then like, F you, you're cool, I'm out.
wow. You.
Yeah. I had a very candid like ceiling conversation with my boss at the time, and it was so disheartening and so upsetting. I was just like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to work for people who don't support or want to nurture someone that puts a lot of sweat equity into what they do. You know, they walk into a company feeling like it's theirs, no matter if they sweep the floor or if they're the CFO. And to me, that culture was unacceptable at that point.
Yeah.
So I actually ended up quitting my job and came home and like, so now what do? Like, I have to figure this out.
Wow. So you had nothing like content wise prepared at that time.
No. And I hadn't fully subscribed to or committed to making that a concerted effort. When I first quit, I leaned on the fact that I built a really great reputation for myself and I could get a job tomorrow if I really, really wanted to have a job.
Sure.
But I wanted culture. I wanted to go to work every day and enjoy it and love what I do, because aside from sleeping, it's the thing we do the most in our lives.
Yeah.
And there's no reason to subject yourself to that kind of torture. And like, that's self-flagellation at that point. So I thought long and hard.
I want to quit. I'm listening to you and I want to quit.
I know. The more we do this, the more, God damn it.
I'm not going to lie. It was probably the most terrifying thing I've ever done.
I bet.
And going, I'm going to commit to this. And knowing that I'd have to have that conversation like with my close friends and family and neighbors, because I mean, you're going to find out.
Yeah, you're not trying to hide it. Obviously, you've got hundreds of thousands of followers. So, I mean,
no, there's no point. It actually got out at my previous job, and I knew it was going to happen. And at first, I was like, right. Oh no! But actually, it was an outpouring of support for the most part, which floored me, because the company I worked for was very conservative Midwestern.
Okay.
So it was a little bit of a shock, but it was actually a pretty cool reception. I've heard some horror stories out there in the industry with other creators, and I've been, knock on wood, very lucky with the amount of support.
Well, you know, and that's good to hear, because it sucked. I mean, there's no place for negativity.
Right.
You know, if somebody doesn't like it, then
move on.
Just shut up and do what you do. Do what you like.
100%. Like, negativity in general makes me very uncomfortable. It's not something I enjoy doing. So when it's present, like, I'm not one to call somebody out and be confrontational, but I will Irish exit really quickly, because it's
me
just
too.
Yeah, I live by it.
Yeah, it's just too much for my universe.
Yeah.
So when you started, was your first did you go right to OnlyFans, or did you cam first, or was it solo, or how did you start?
Right off the deep end, like right into OnlyFans, all the social media platforms, like just right out of the gate, like the Kool-Aid man just came right through. Now, to be fair, you know, I had folks like Andy, who I'm friends with, that helped to Sherpa that and keep me sane. Because I would probably like text her like, you know, midnight or 6 a.m. the next morning, like, what have I done? What is going on here? How do I interpret this? And like, have you seen this before? And how do you respond to that? So I had someone in my corner, so that made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Your support system is huge.
Yeah, I love we've said this to other OnlyFans models that we've had on. I love the community that you guys have set up. Yeah. And like, when you guys will share each other in your stories and stuff. And I wish the podcast community would do that. Like, everything feels like a competition, and you guys feel like you're all working together, because you know there's enough horny men that you'll all be fine.
And women,
that too. But
I mean, I would imagine you have a very huge female base. Oh yeah, as well.
You'd imagine I have a huge female base
of fans as well.
Following.
I want to say it's probably. I did look at demographics.
Okay,
that's the data. I want to say it was in the high single digit percentages, which surprised me. I thought it would be closer to that 1-5%, but I think it was around 8%.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah,
I love how opposite you and Andy seem to be when we talk to her, and she's like, I just fly by the seat of my pants, and you're like, I got everything.
But I love her. So together. Yeah, we're, I think if like you melded us together, we'd be unstoppable, honestly. she provides, I'll use the word levity again, but like, she's fearless, and she's one of the most gritty, kind, hilarious humans I've ever met. So she kind of keeps me light and airy and fun.
Yeah.
I definitely have that more process driven data side to me. So when we get together, I feel like I could be almost more like her. Like, bring that side out of me. Yeah.
Sure. So I'm curious.
Andy Unfiltered is my favorite human on the planet.
Yeah, it took me a second to get used to her in the interview, because she was not what I was expecting. Like, she was definitely more. So it was great.
Yes.
I didn't expect her to have that sense of humor and be so. I was more flustered in that interview than I think I've been in any interview we've done.
You said that afterwards.
Yeah. She'll, she'll shock you a little.
Yeah. I was just thrown completely. Yeah. So you mentioned like having to tell family and friends and neighbors and stuff. And you said you have adult children?
Yes.
How is that conversation? I'm just curious how you approach that.
So I think the adult children are kind of used to it, because we never lied to them. Like, once we started putting ourselves out there with, you know, the other businesses and the podcasts regarding sex, we're like, look, this is what's happening. We don't want you to defend us, apologize for us, or be, you know, victims of whatever this could be. So let's have like a real conversation about it. And overwhelmingly, again, are supportive. They're all on board with it.
Was never that a check mark from them?
Yeah, I guess. I think my messages are turned on.
That was now great that I'm timing.
Corporate world. Let me see if I can shut this down.
That's all right. I loved it. It was such perfect timing.
It was.
They're very supportive. Ding.
That was them.
Yeah. I really haven't had an uncomfortable conversation telling people who we are and what we're doing. I've had couple people ask and felt emboldened to kind of pry. And I don't necessarily subscribe to that. So I have to remind myself to be kind, because this is something they're just fact finding because they're curious and they live a more sheltered life.
Sure.
So I try to be a little nurturing in the conversations, because they haven't lived the lives we've lived. So there's a big delta there. So.
And you still have your shops?
Yes. Yeah. So we still have actually have two podcasts. I have one with my husband, and I have one with a hot wife friend of mine. Yeah. So she's an Australian, named Aussie Kate. Brilliant human being. She's got a bit of wanderlust. So she's from Australia. And when I met her, she was living in Singapore and then moved to the Netherlands. And now she's moving to another European country to be decided. Like, wow. She's a cool lady. She's got a multitude of amazing stories about her travels. Very, very cultured. So I have a podcast with her, a podcast with my husband. And then we have a sex toy store, an e-commerce sex toy store.
Okay.
And the names of your podcast?
So I have The Hot Wife Diaries. And my husband and I have a Casual Swinger podcast.
Okay.
And then the toy store is Casual Toys.
Casual Toys? Okay. Where are the podcasts? Casualtoys.com. Where are the podcasts? Are they like on Spotify and Apple and all that stuff?
Yeah, okay. They're everywhere. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts. We're on a temporary hiatus because we have so much going on with my brand right now that we're taking a couple months off of that podcast.
Sure.
But we'll be back on here in a couple months. Cool. I'm still doing the podcast with Kate. We release twice a month, and that's kind of a different type of podcast than what I have with my husband. So this one's more of a kiss and tell about our escapades as it relates to this creator space and just our general lives. So it's a little hot to handle.
Well, yeah. Sounds perfect.
I know. Yeah.
Well, we want to push that one.
Two new subscribers.
Put a hiatus on that podcast.
Yeah. So I've had a few fans and subscribers come over from it and be like, I heard this story and I need to know, is there video evidence of it? And most of the time there is. So,
oh.
Yeah.
So
what a brilliant business model that is.
No kidding. But are the podcasts on YouTube?
No. Okay. So we got kicked off of YouTube really quickly.
Very quickly. Bastards.
Like, we didn't even get to post.
You know we're monetized now, right? Calm down.
Yeah, if you're monetized, you're fine. You're fine. You're good. But we got kicked off real quick. I think we're gonna re-architect that at some point. Because we've been asked to do video versions, right? Because it's so commonplace now. It's almost an expectation in the podcast side.
Yeah.
So it's something we'll revisit and see if that's something we can work out. But she's, you know, cross continents too. So we're trying to figure out how to keep that quality up.
Right.
Well, and that's what I'm envisioning, you know, as two beautiful women talking about their escapades would be awesome to watch.
A little bit of masturbatory fodder, I'm not gonna lie. But it's good fun. I mean, it's literally sitting there and listening on a conversation between two girlfriends. Everyone has done that. We've been at a restaurant, two girls have had a bottle of wine, and they're talking about the last guy they went out with. I'm not ashamed to say it. I enjoy listening to those conversations because they're real and they're exciting and fun. Why not share that?
I totally agree. Over sipping whiskey, I assume.
Yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, sometimes it's an Irish coffee because the time difference, sometimes it's 9 or 10 a.m. here when we're like chatting and it's evening for her. So she may be on the wine.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I want to start a band and name it Masturbatory Fodder.
I like it. I would totally listen to that. 100%.
I feel like that's the first time I've ever heard those two words combined. So that We were just talking about spankbank.com. I think that's the fancy way to say spankbank.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the nice way of saying I'm going to whack off to this later.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like it. I'm going to use it.
Yeah. Max, no, you're not. You don't even know how to say it. You can't even say that.
Well, I couldn't. I'm going to have to practice. I'm horrible, so I'm going to have to practice for a while, but
it's got quite a few syllables.
Yeah, it's a rule here on the podcast. He's not allowed to introduce any guests because he will get the name wrong every time. So
I do it. I do it as well. Hell, yeah. I think we had, do you know who Holly Randall is?
Absolutely.
Okay. Right. Like when it comes to her and her mother, like they're legendary. Royalty. Yes.
And her father, mother and father. Yes, are legends.
Right. That whole family. I've never been starstruck in my life, never really had a big reason to. So this was my opportunity. And I tripped up and started telling her about mailing potatoes, like during this conversation. Oh yeah. To like be an icebreaker, like totally like facepalm moment, because I'd seen it earlier that week on, I think it was Shark Tank, where they used to like put, like you can mail faces and like mail a potato to somebody. And when I finished telling her my anecdote about it, it was like audible crickets. And I'm like, oh God, she thinks I'm a moron. I look across the table and my husband's looking at me slack-jawed, like I can't be responsible for you right now. I couldn't stop that train that was on fire and imminently crashing. Like, what are you doing?
You are on your own.
Oh yeah. Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm not allowed to introduce people either.
Okay.
That's okay. Not, there we go. See?
So we have something in common.
You got to have teammates, you know, yeah, that's enough. You got to have somebody who's there for your weaknesses, you know,
there you go. Yeah. So, yeah. So where did with Holly, your experience with her, where was this?
So it was on our Casual Swinger podcast, and we wanted to talk about, cause
she came on that podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
She was pregnant at the time.
Yep.
Like pregnant.
So not that long ago.
Yeah. Maybe 2 years ago. Yeah. 2.5 years ago. Yep. And we just wanted to talk about taking flattering photos, because there's so many women of all shapes and sizes out there that feel self-conscious about mm-hmm. having photos taken. At the time I was one of them. It wasn't until I started taking my own photos that I started to have a greater appreciation for my body, my form, my own idiosyncrasies and all these other things. So we wanted to bring light to that conversation, and who better to have that with than someone that photographs naked women for a living.
True.
Good. Does a phenomenal job at it. That is so creative, like just some simple tips and tricks. And she's so supportive of like giving a hand up and whatnot, especially to women in the sex industry, period. So we reached out and she was just kind enough to say yes. I mean, I really don't know what it was. She was just really kind. You know,
it's
the right questions.
It's a cool, amazing feeling, isn't it? Because we get the same feeling every time somebody says yes to us, because we still haven't fit. Like we talk to playmates that, you know, playmates that we wanked off to when we were in our
masturbatory.
We're talking to our masturbatory fodder from our 20s. Like, yeah. What the fuck is this happening?
I have looked at your portfolio, like you, like the playmates, like I'm like, I remember wanking off to them. Holy moly.
I think we just found the clip for this episode.
I the thought of me and you banking up to the same woman is just amazing.
Oh yeah.
I feel so proud. I don't know what it is.
I never had that switch in my brain that said that was wrong or bad. Like I was I thought I just won the lottery. I was like, men, women, like I can have it all. The world is my oyster. This is the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That's true.
So you've always been into men and women.
From a young age. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Well, and that's the best of both worlds, because I wonder that. I mean, the women, the woman body is just so amazing and beautiful. Right. How can you not want to touch it?
What? You don't think dicks are beautiful?
I've seen yours. So,
whoa, can we talk about that for a second?
we've been friends for a long time.
We've been best friends for 15 years and So,
oh yeah. It's inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, you probably accidentally the first time, but now you just do it just to, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my
I don't know that you can.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you had a question. It seemed like you had a question.
I just don't know. Can you actually be best friends unless you've given each other a Spartan?
You might have to explain Spartan, okay, but I good. Got a feeling.
I was like,
but I got a feeling it has to do with maybe jacking each other or something off at the same time.
Oh no! So this is something like guys would do. Guys would do it too. I think it was in college. Like they do it to each other and take pictures. It's when you have like your friend passes out on the couch and you stand over them and you put their balls on their forehead and then your penis down their nose, so it looks like a Spartan helmet.
I can guarantee you it's going to happen now.
Yeah.
Don't pass out first.
Maybe not to him, but I have done that. Not a Spartan, but I have put my balls on passed out people's heads.
Yeah. See? How can you not, though? If I was in your position, I'd probably do the same thing.
Well, I'm just going. Now in my head, I want to pass out.
Yeah, he got the unfortunate event. My girlfriend accidentally sent him a dick pic of mine that I had sent her. She accidentally forwarded it on to him.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
And it was the highlight of my life. I'm not going to lie to you. When I found, I laughed so hard.
I'm like, yep, good picture. It was from a weekend. We were away or something. I'd be like, hey, send me pictures from that weekend. And she's like, I'm going, hey, there's this cock. Okay.
Found your new avatar.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So funny. So good. Where do we go from here?
You okay?
No, where do we go from here? Women. Let's go with women. Let's go with women and you. And how do you come up with your content? What do you, being a planner, I guess, is what I'm going with. Do you plan it out? And how comfortable are you? Go ahead. I'll do that one first. How do you plan it out?
So as far as my content, you know, there's different, you know, iterations of it. So I have like the standard, like social media content, the stuff that you produce for Instagram. It's different than the stuff you produce for Twitter, TikTok. That's different from the content that you have behind that paywall there.
Yeah.
So I try to make it cohesive so that I'm being my most true self, that it's not a front, because I'm actually a terrible actress and a horrible liar. I've never been able to do either in my entire life. So when I went into this, I was like, I gotta be me and all of me, because I have to do this a lot. So when I'm producing content, I try to take it cradle to grave in some ways. So if I'm out doing something, you know, and I want to create like an Instagram reel because like the sun is and I look out and I have this really cute outfit on, I kind of tell a little story about what I'm really doing in that moment and then make it specific to whatever I'm going to apply it to, whether that's behind the paywall or on Twitter or on Instagram. So I want to make it very specific to that platform and that audience.
It's a lot of work.
It is.
Yeah. The amount of content just on Instagram alone that you're putting out there. I mean, I was saying the same thing to Andy, like we put out like one thing a day, essentially. We'll cut a clip and put it out as a reel. And on one account, like you have like three accounts as well, don't you?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, how many hours a day are you spending just, you know, dealing with content? Yeah.
So it could be anywhere. I mean, on a light day, 6 to 8, but also keep in mind, I'm committed. I'm a workaholic. I would say on the law averages, I work 7 days a week, about 6 to 8 hours a day.
Okay.
Okay. You know, wow. Okay.
That's content creation. That's posting. That's monitoring. That's responding to messages. I don't have an agency. So anything that I do respond to is always me.
Yeah.
Something I've been adamant about from the start. Maybe I'm a little bit of a control freak, but I'm all about authenticity. You know, what you see is what you get. I want to make sure that if you think I'm the right brand for you, I'm the right person for you, I don't want you to get there and be like, oh my God, WTF.
Yeah. Right.
I have no idea who this person is. So
well, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Put it out there. That's for sure. So when you got into with Maddie and Andy, how was that first? Whose idea was it to collaborate together?
So Andy being the camp counselor and organizer, She married that idea together and kind of coordinated. She had been friends with Maddie for a while. She'd been friends with me and while we'd never had the opportunity to be in circles socially. So with them being creators and me new, I felt very, very grateful that I was invited in to at least give it a shot. And I'm not going to lie, like being as bisexual as I was, like I was a little intimidated going into it. And I'm like, oh my God, she's just as pretty in person as she is online. And like, I know Andy, I knew Andy looked like a Barbie doll. Like when I met her, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, holy shit, this woman's fucking gorgeous. Wow. Mm-hmm. So like I'm standing there and there's two of the most beautiful women I know. And I'm like, is this real life? Have I died and this is my version of heaven?
Oh, it would be mine. Yeah. So, so was that the first time you met Maddie? Is before the scene or yeah. Did you get to be? Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we got to, we were chatting. We had some text chats and social chats before that. But like, as far as meeting in person, we met the night of the collaboration, the first one. And I want to say it was almost... it was just seamless. It was effortless. Like we got along so well and it just kind of translated to the content too. Like there, what I love about moments like that is like, I forgot that there was a camera rolling. Like sure. I was so in the moment.
Oh, and it shows, it just shows that everyone was natural and they just enjoying yeah. themselves.
Yeah. And I think that's what I love about what they do, what I do is it's very natural. It's very mm-hmm. genuine. That's not produced to the degree that some people might think it is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
No, that's a good word to use. It's genuine and kind of mm-hmm. like you guys want a window into our night. Here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% I would have done that without cameras rolling. No, no
yeah,
question.
Kind of where I was going. Yep.
See that. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know why you'd say no to that.
No, if I did, someone should have a full body scan done, especially this part.
Have you collaborated more than just the one time, or have you guys gotten together to do more content?
So we've actually had two opportunities to do okay. collaborations. I actually haven't been back up in the area. It's a lot easier for me to go to them than trying to coordinate travel down here. Andy's come down here a couple times, but she's get an easier schedule to do that sure. With, you know, whatnot, but I'll probably, you know, we're in Nashville 2 to 3 times a year anyway. So I'm sure like when the confluence of all of that happens again, we'll put something together. Cause they're so amazing. And, you know, I won't speak for them, but I feel like we all had a good time.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say. It's safe to say. Yeah, there's either brilliant acting or everyone had a very good time.
She's not a very good actress. She said that.
No. Well,
I know. I'm saying the other two possibly. I mean,
no.
Terrible. Horrible POW. Don't pick me.
And how does the lucky guy get to be the patient or with the nurse? Like, how does the name get drawn out of the bucket? Is this
because I'm not feeling real well. I have a temperature.
Are you talking about the one we did with the nurses by chance?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a fun little anecdote for that one.
Good.
So there's some T's and C's to what you can produce in certain platforms. They have rules and guidelines for the community standards. And one of them is you can't look like you're asleep or dead. And the first intro, I'm trying to hold it together because one of the worst things that can happen is you look at me during a serious moment, you're done. Cause I'm laughing and we're both done now. I'm not your person. So I'm already trying to kick it in. Andy had said something utterly hilarious as we're walking in. I'm like, damn it, girl. I'm trying to take it serious. And we get there and we're standing next to bed and there's Dave in the bed and we hear roll or shoot or go, whatever the word is. I forgot what the cue, but I look down and he's like this. I lean over. I was like, you can't, you have to open your eyes. You can't. We have to revive you. And it took like 10 to 15 minutes to like compose ourselves after that. Like it was pretty funny.
Yeah. You guys got the blooper reel saved somewhere. So yeah.
I hope so, because I would totally pay to see that. And
right.
Yeah. That could be a bonus you could release.
But seriously, how does the guy get picked?
So there's this lottery system that happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, can I sign up? How does this work?
Do we have to send a resume? I'm not sure. Audition tape? What's going on?
You know, I actually get that question a lot. And for me, I would never play with somebody that I wouldn't play with in real life.
Sure.
That makes sense.
So that's kind of the key. Cause again, sticking to that authenticity, being genuine, that's a real requirement for me in this space. Because again, if I'm going to work this hard, I'm going to have fun doing it. And I want it to come across as just that.
Right.
So when did you meet Dave? If it's Dave, no, just kidding.
Dave
doesn't matter. So I guess like Matt, you met her that day for the first time. Have you met Dave before prior to that?
So Dave is Andy's husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
That poor fella.
Yeah, I know. He's got it rough. Poor stunt cock. Bless him.
Rough life. I feel for him. Yeah. All right. It's all good.
We do. I put the question. Do you have a question? Otherwise, I'm going to.
Before I forget, because I forget. Those are my laps right there. So your content, kind of going before, the content of can't be sleeping or dead or whatever the case may be. Yeah. So is your same content on OnlyFans the same as Fansly? Because I heard Fansly is more lenient than OnlyFans is what I heard.
I have to. And actually, I just launched my Fansly in this last month because I wanted to get used to the platforms and the socials and really be masters of that one before I moved on to something else. And I have to say, I really do enjoy the Fansly as a platform. They do have different guidelines and standards. And I guess you could say that they're a little more forgiving or a little more open. Yeah. To certain things. Like another thing is like bondage play. So like in OnlyFans, I couldn't be restrained. So if I wanted to do like handcuff me office or something, blah, 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 I couldn't actually be handcuffed or tied to something.
Okay.
On Fansly, I believe you're allowed to. I was doing some research recently on that. So.
Well, we had a guest on and she was a mechanic and she could do things with her tools on Fansly that she couldn't do on OnlyFans.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
So that's where I was wondering how that went.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Bondage, interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a difference. I don't know where Fansly is based out of from a demographic perspective, but I think the community guidelines for OnlyFans is because they're based out of the UK.
Oh, okay. So,
yeah, and they have, they're weird, like, because I'm in the US, I do something called a 2257, which is a compliance form. Which just says, hey, I'm overage and I am of sound mind and willing to do this. Well, being in the UK, OnlyFans doesn't require that. But in the US, they do if you're a performer.
Okay.
So, like, they don't require it for me to post. But if I ever had to provide documentation to a government agency, it's probably something I should have on file for anyone that I collaborate with.
Oh,
sure. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. It's weird when you start to think of there's actually business involved with it. It's not just, you know, like,
like I really wish, like, I've had a couple of people ask me, like, so if I wanted to do it, what do I do? I was like, you really have to, like, have a good business perspective on this and have a mindset of not just protecting yourself but treating it as a business, because I'd love to tell you can take pictures of your feet and be super successful just by doing that one thing. But there's a lot that happens in the background.
Yeah.
So you mentioned bondage before. Is that something you wanted to get into with Fansly?
So it's something that I'm kind of on a personal journey with myself. So it'd be nice to explore that and share it as I do.
Okay. That's a good
I mean,
introduction to Fansly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little scary to say that out loud and put that out into the universe, but it is something that I'm working with and very interested in and had a recent good experience and would like to maybe produce content that surrounds that, and we'll see. But I believe Fansly is the only platform in my repertoire right now that would allow that.
Okay. Sure. Would you, on a personal level, do you have a personal fetish that you're willing to share?
Well, that was a fan question.
I'm a fan. Fuck them.
A personal fetish. I mean, the bondage and a little bit of the power play. So both impact play as well as like sub-dom play, but not from like a dominatrix. Like I feel like I have a very strong personality. So I have enjoyed kind of letting that go and being a little bit on the submissive side for something I've recently toyed with. and I found interesting.
Yeah.
And a little enlightening. So I just want to explore that more and see if that was just a novel experience because it was new and exciting.
Yeah.
Because that might be on brand. Yeah, it might be on brand for me because I'm all about the adventure. Like I will do anything once, twice for a good measure.
Yeah.
And that, but that third time is usually where I decide if this is going to be something I'm going to incorporate or if it was just fun for what it was.
Okay. So, that's a good way to live life, actually.
Yeah, I would imagine that going into the submissive role would be a good thing for, you know, I'm being somebody who's got everything under control and, you know, everything taken care of to just let go and be, you know, be taken that way would be exciting.
Oh, very, very much so. But conversely, like I thought about it, I'm like, you know, I could try the other side too, because that fits very well with my personality and I could actually like explore that and exploit that one sliver a little bit and see where that goes. But I haven't had that experience of the dynamic yet in my real life.
Sure.
So we'll see. Maybe I will.
And we might be along for the journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, you might.
I get a front row seat. Who knows?
I'm subscribing tomorrow.
I'm on OnlyFans. It's not Fansly.
Okay. All right. It's a business expense.
There you go. Oh my God. You do have the keys to the kingdom.
I know. It's a beautiful thing. Yes, it is. It is a write off. This will be our first year doing business taxes, and I cannot wait to show up at the accountant and be like, here's all our OnlyFans subscriptions.
Yeah. Honey, you can call me. We can cry together next year.
I just can't wait to see the look on the accountant's face. Like, what?
Oh, I can't wait either.
I loved going to our accountant and going, okay, so this is what we're doing. I'm just going to be transparent with you.
Mm-hmm.
I will be writing off a lot of lingerie. So are you comfortable with that?
Okay.
Yeah.
So right up front, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. He's like, more power to you. Absolutely.
It's part of the business. Yeah.
Too bad you can't write off all your whiskey.
Oh.
Yeah, he said no.
Really?
But you asked. Okay.
What if I use it in content? He said no.
Oh
yeah. I'm wondering that I'm wondering with us too, the same thing, if we're going to be able to write off because alcohol is part of our podcast.
It's so very central to your brand. I would argue that hard.
Yeah.
We're gonna.
Yeah. It's cause we obviously we spend quite a bit of money on alcohol. I mean, not as much as you all.
What do you guys, what do you guys normally drink? Like what would you spend the most money on right now, as far as classification of cocktail beverages?
I am really into tequila all of a sudden. And that has grown from this podcast. I was never a tequila drinker. And just from having guests that drink tequila, I've gotten more and more into it. So I could definitely see myself going down a tequila, but I'm more of I don't drink a whole lot other than the podcast. I'm more of a weed user. So, so I don't, unless we're doing this, I don't really drink much, but fair, yeah, tequila
anymore.
Anymore. Yeah. I mean, I certainly used to, but
yeah. And I've always enjoyed whiskey. But I like Irish whiskeys.
Ooh, have you tried Lumavati?
No.
Okay, that came out of the Whistle Pig Distillery. It's a little heated, but it's delicious. And plus, it's a pretty bottle. So if you find it, I would. What? I'm a girl. I can say
I like it. Pretty too. I've heard of Whistle Pig.
Yeah, they make a lot of good whiskey.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And they're out
of. Say the name again, because I'm bad.
It's called Lumavati.
Lumavati.
Okay. Oh yeah. I'll look it up. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, yeah. I dig it out of the upstairs, but it take me a minute. I'll take a picture and send it to you.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Yeah. I would love that. I'd love it. Yeah. Love good suggestions.
Yeah, that and I think Powers is another one that we keep around here. Powers Irish whiskey.
Oh, okay.
As far as whiskey, then I just want to ask you, not Irish, but when I was at the speakeasy, because remember we tried Old Fitzgerald?
Yes.
Because my last name's Fitzgerald. Irish. Bob. Nice. But we had an old with Fitzgerald that was horrible.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Yeah, it was.
But he said he had a bottle of, I want to say 18, Old Fitzgerald 18, that he said was one of his favorites.
Oh.
And I'm like, Old Fitzgerald? Because I saw it and I laughed at him and he's like, that's one of my favorites. So I don't, have you ever had Old Fitzgerald?
I have not had Old Fitzgerald.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to go with the punchline? I thought you were setting her up to ask her if she wanted to.
For me? Because I am old?
No, but should I? Like, if I see it out in my travels, should I try it?
I want to explore.
The bottle we had was shit.
It was horrible. Yes. Yeah, but it was not. It was, I think they're just run-of-the-mill stuff. So, and it was cheap. But he made it sound like it was the 18. So, yeah, I'm curious now. Now I'm curious.
You didn't try it?
No, because we were having so many other drinks. It was just,
yeah,
they were so good.
I have to look into it because one of the things I love about whiskeys is the stories that are behind them.
Yes.
Like something I picked up recently, and if you see it, I highly recommend you try it. It's called Uncle Nearest.
Uncle Nearest?
So Nathan Nearest Green was really the original master distiller for Jack Daniels. He was a former slave that came up with what they called, I believe it's the Lincoln County process, where they poured the distillate over the maple smoked charcoal. And he taught the Jack Daniels how to do that. And he didn't get credit for it until like 2019. So there's like this whole story about it online. And it's fascinating. I won't bore you to tears with it right now. And for your subscribers, because they're probably going to tune out if I start going into that. But it is totally worth a Google. And what I love is it's actually worth a sip too. Like it's phenomenal.
I'm going to tell you, you're not boring us. I don't think you're boring us. The one thing we really have found we love about this thing is when you talk to somebody and you go in thinking we're going to talk about this subject and then you end up over here. And those conversations are typically the best part of the conversation.
Not going to lie. I'm like, man, I can really get off base here very quickly. When you guys are like, no, we're just going to hang out and have some cocktails. I was like, woo, it's going to be great. Or I'm going to be a total shit show. Like, I don't know.
What? I'm gonna propose this, and we'd love to have you back, obviously. And we did talk to Andy. We'd love to have all three of you on at some point, but we would love to do an episode with you and just do like you tell us four or five whiskeys to try and just do like a whiskey flight.
And can I do it in lingerie?
Yes. You may.
Change approved. I don't know if anybody watched Cougar Town, but
yes.
Change approved.
100%.
Yeah. I don't. If that gets us kicked off YouTube, I'm fine with it. We don't really make any money anyway.
Can we be in lingerie as well?
Yes.
Oh, 100%. Speaking of new kinks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boys in lingerie.
Or wearing lingerie the boys buy. That sounds hot.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking we need if we're gonna do this. And I want to, then we would maybe send her some lingerie.
I was going to say, one of those wish lists out there somewhere.
Yeah. Huh? Actually, on my casual toy site. So,
there you go. See?
Yeah.
I got it written down.
all right. I got to, since you're a seller of sex toys, what should I get the woman for Valentine's Day? Is there, a new, something new and fabulous in the sex toy world?
There's so much wonderful things out there in the sex toy world. For me personally, I'm a big fan of the clit stimulators.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a bundle of nerves that, blessed be. That just, it's like the Energizer bunny, and they just keep going and going and going. I have a toy that I just love. It's called the Womanizer Premium. It's a clit stimulator, and what it does, it's air displacement. So it kind of feels like a sucking motion. But it's not. It's very unique. They actually discovered the technology by toying with aquarium pumps.
Wow.
So okay.
It's a patented technology. And also what I love about it is if you take some time to get from point A to point B, which most women do, it's got an ergonomically designed feature where it kind of lays in the palm of your hand very easily, so you don't have like that wrist fatigue that happens if you like to apply a lot of pressure or a little pressure and you have to hold it stable. Sure. It's not cheap. I think it runs about $200, maybe $160-170 on sale. But it's totally worth it. Mine have like 280,000 miles on them. it's definitely a fan favorite here. And I have the benefit of playing with as many toys as I want to.
Yeah, I was gonna say you get to be a tester.
You gotta test drive everything, right? So if somebody comes in and says, "How is it?" You gotta be able to know.
Yeah, no, my life doesn't suck. there's also one, and I'm gonna forget the name of it, but it's a vibrating seat pad. So you can set it on a chair, and it's a clit stimulator, but it's a vibrator, and also has a little nub that kind of stimulates the vulva a little bit too. Mm. And you can put it on the couch, chair, a bar stool, like whatever you're comfortable in. So it's kind of like a portable rideable. in some description, but sans penetration. So it's mostly like an external stimulation. That one's really cool.
So is that, now I'm going to just refer to your OnlyFans and I'm going to call it what you call it, the fuck machine. Now, when you did that, or fucking machine, I apologize.
Yeah.
So with all your toys, that was the first time you tried it?
It was 100% the first time I ever tried that toy. So that was called a Motor Bunny Buck. And the original Motor Bunny had like the penetrative part would do this a little bit, which was fine-ish, but it wasn't where like my orgasms lived. But the buck that had the what is that called? There's a fancy word for it that is slipping my mind now that I'm almost through my glass of whiskey. Have you noticed that the syllables in my words have decreased as I've drank more?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm throw that out there.
We appreciate that.
I'm very used to it. He doesn't have the nickname Mushmouth for no reason. So,
but the fact that it could actually, I was fascinated and a little intimidated by. But I wanted to try it and I figured why not? Because at the end of the day, if the video didn't come out well or whatever, I don't have to post it. It's not like it's live.
Right.
But it was such an intense experience. I was like, I think I feel like I have to share this because it was crazy.
Oh, bless you.
I know. Well, in my judgment, like I brought the attachments and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this one. And then I looked at it. I was like, holy shit, was this a good idea? Are we sure about this? Like having that internal conversation. And as it turns out, it was. But I intimidated myself at first.
Sure. That's got to be, for your test drive everything, videotape it, watch it, doesn't look good, I'm going to delete it. But fuck, that I got to put that on. So
yeah, it was hot. It was fun. I did at the very end, I thought I was going to end up collapsing because it has a dial mechanism for both the vibrating and the penetrative, and I accidentally like yerked it a little bit too far, and my back's to the camera, thank God, because I went cross-eyed and like God, I can't even imagine what my face looked like. But it was a lot. It got me there. Like I think my brain knew better than, or my fingers knew better than my brain did at that point. So
subconsciously did what you needed to do.
Apparently so. It was like Jesus took the wheel.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It does seem like the perfect life.
It doesn't suck. It really I'm probably the happiest I've ever been, to be perfectly honest.
That's what it's all about.
It makes us so happy to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, because it shows you've constantly smiled, you've been a joy. It's just sharing has been amazing. You're just a pleasure to talk to.
Oh, now I'm blushing and sweating.
Good job.
Well done. All facts.
So smooth, this one.
What? Bonus points.
Pulls it off even with that hideous mustache.
Yes. I went with a porn mustache this week.
Did you? Yeah. Nice. Well done.
Yeah.
Why not?
Somebody's got to pull it off.
Just for the hell of it. Something to do.
All right.
Just don't be peeking over fences. You might get phone calls.
Right. You know what? I don't think we had any good enough fan questions to worry about because this was a good conversation. I don't want to ruin it with the
fuck the fans. This is all about us.
Yeah, like we got with Mrs. Andy when we put it out there. Most of the questions were like, how big are her tits? Will she fuck me? Jesus Christ.
I have some interesting fans out there, very unique in their perspectives. Once in a while I'll get like, how long's your big toe or something like that.
But that's their fetish.
Yeah, for sure. Never thought about measuring my big toe, but let's go.
Okay. Is that a good part of you? Do you enjoy that part of it, talking with the fans?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I love everything from like if they just want to like a normal day-to-day conversation, like messaging, to even some of the stuff that, could be a little jarring just because you haven't had like exposure to it before. I love the full gamut of it. And it's again why I want to keep that genuine, like be able to respond to all my messages every time, because awesome. I get a lot out of it too.
I can only imagine you must get a ton of messages. I mean, it's got to be tough to keep up.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I check my messages multiple times a day, a couple times at night, just to make sure I'm keeping up with it. Because the same person may message three times that day, or they may message once in 3 days or once that week. And I want everyone to feel like they're getting the same amount of attention.
Sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, is that through the both?
Yeah.
You're both of your OnlyFans, because you do have the free one and then you have the paid, you know, VIP one.
Yeah. So the free one, I have it set up to where, because I was inundated fairly early on and I had to make a decision. So on my free side, it's kind of a pay to play. Like, they have to tip.
Yep.
Not a lot. They have to tip to have a conversation, which that does happen. But from a volume perspective, it's not as high as my paid page is.
Yeah.
But same thing in Fansly. Like, I respond to all of my messages myself. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And yeah. I assume you have more positive than negative. I mean, there has to be a few that you're.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I tried to mentally prepare myself for a different split of the negative versus.
Yeah.
Positive. And I use negative loosely. It's actually been a very overwhelmingly positive experience.
That's awesome.
Great to hear.
If your love language is affirmation and praise, like, this is the spot to be in for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And are you able to block people? I'm assuming.
Oh yeah. 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 And
okay.
To be fair, I've only had to do that one time ever. There was a guy.
That's good odds.
Yeah. 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 Very, very good odds. One guy recently was trying to dox me.
So, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, that was interesting. So
yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Eh,
we can't just let people live and
no shit.
I don't know. The only thing I can walk away from that with is pity. You know, wow. Yeah, right. Like, there's something really, really awful about your existence that encourages you, or you have a deep desire to have that kind of impact on somebody, to really go out of your way to do something like that. And I mean, obviously I can't stop you. That's out of my control. It sucks and it makes me angry and I want to get a chicken neck and tell you all about yourself, but it's not going to change the outcome. So.
His name wasn't Clifton French, was it?
No, but I actually don't know for sure. I believe he is in this state.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all.
We've had Sarah Jaree on. She's an OnlyFans. She was a teacher who was fired for mm-hmm. being on OnlyFans, and the guy that outed her, his name is Clifton French, and we like to rip on him as much as we can.
He's a douchebag with a really, really small penis.
Okay, well, fuck Clifton French.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What? Actually, nobody fuck Clifton French. Yeah, leave it, make him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, thank you so much. We loved it. This was so much fun, and we can't wait to do it again.
Yes, please. I would love to. This has been a ton of fun. If you just want to call and have a drink sometime off camera, let's go.
Awesome. Right?
Awesome. Your knowledge of whiskeys is astounding, right? Astonishing. So I could pick your brain all night.
Oh, you're more than welcome to.
Well, tell everybody where they can find you so we can get some new subscribers. Your way.
All right. Yes. I will make it really easy. You can find me at MrsMilford.com. That's MrsMilford.com.
Awesome. So go do it. It's worth it.
And through there, you can go to all your podcasts and your store. Okay, great. I just want to make sure because.
Yeah, my socials up there. My VIP experiences are up there. Yeah, my podcast isn't up there yet because we're only like 6 or 8 episodes in.
Okay.
So I'll have to integrate that into the website. But you can find us as Hot Wife Diaries on most platforms that have podcasts.
Cool. I'll put it in the description too. People will be able to find it.
Thank you.
I want to listen.
Awesome. Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Thanks, you guys. You too.
Pleasure meeting you. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously, though, get your asses out of here.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid. Electric Acid.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for
the Candle Power Hour.
Electric Acid.